Welcome to Digital Health Talks. Each week, we meet with the healthcare leaders making an immeasurable difference in equity, access, and quality. Hear about what tech is worth investing in and what isn't as we focus on the innovations that deliver. Join Megan Antonelli, Janae Sharp, and Shahid Shah for a weekly No BS deep dive on what's really making an impact in healthcare.
Hi, and welcome to another Health Impact Live Digital Health Talks. I am Megan Antonelli, and I'm delighted to be here with Dr. Harvey Castro. Dr. Castro is an emergency room physician in Texas, born and raised in New York, which is must be why I like him, with over 20 years as a physician, entrepreneur, and a former CEO of a healthcare system. Couldn't be a better guest for Health Impact. He is dedicated and persistent in all facets of his career in emergency medicine and an entrepreneur, frequently in the media, and has recently risen to be one of the 2024 North America top voices on LinkedIn, centered around his recent publications on the use of ChatGPT and healthcare applications of AI. He will be chairing the HIMSS24 AI pre-conference and leading a panel at the end of the month at a Health Impact Forum in Houston. I'm excited to talk to him and get a little preview of what we can expect. Welcome, Dr. Castro. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, and I'm really excited.
I am too. Looking at the program, it's great, and you've been honored as a best doctor year after year, still practicing and also leading the charge as an entrepreneur and an industry voice. Tell us how you're balancing professionally that need for innovation in healthcare with the practice of good medicine and, of course, a great bedside manner.
I'm so passionate about healthcare in general, and then you throw in AI. And I tend to call myself a little bit of a nutty professor. And so you put those three worlds together, and this is what you get. I come from a humble beginning, literally poverty in New York City. And I also come from a point where my first healthcare experience is marked by my left hand. I have this large scar left to right. And the skinny is I cut myself up in the streets of New York hitting signs because I thought I was Michael Jordan when I was a kid. And I gashed my hand open. Went to the emergency room, waited over 8 hours. And then when I got my stitches, they did it without anesthetic. And that just literally scarred me in such a way that I thought, in the future, I want to be the best doctor out there. I want to be very empathetic, love on my patients. But then I want to bring technology, AI, edge computing, all of it together, and then just give it back into my patients and healthcare. And I think those worlds collided. And that's why you see me out there doing all these crazy stuff, innovating, creating, teaching, because I'm passionate about it.
Right. So you were literally scarred. Literally. Yeah. I think we all, whatever that moment is in our lives that brings us to healthcare, I think it sticks and we stay with it. When I was just having a conversation yesterday, in fact, about how there's such diversity. You have scientists, you have technologists, you have creatives in healthcare, but at the end of the day, they're all good people trying to really help people. So, but talking more about AI and technology, I mean, I think we were planning our January 2023 event, and the ChatGPT was released in November, and we knew we had to talk about it. And the conversation has just shifted so significantly. And there is a lot of talk. And we at Health Impact, we like to be the no BS event and try to cut through some of the hype. And it's been some time. And it's not like it was new when ChatGPT was released. AI has been here and been used in healthcare for a while. Tell us a little bit about how you're seeing it really impacting the practice and delivery of healthcare.
You know, one of the most fascinating parts of healthcare is being able to help give care. I mean, honestly, I'm humbled every time I get to spend time with the patient and just, I call it love back on my patients. Now, having the power of AI, I feel like I see my colleagues that may be lacking in X and Y, being able to use AI to leverage to give that better care. I'll give you a really blunt example. Some doctors are really bad at communicating. Some doctors, unfortunately, they're not very empathetic. And so why not? One of the things that I am seeing is why not use AI to teach you empathy? And then you're like, oh, that's dumb. No, it's actually a thing. You can go into ChatGPT and say, hey, when I talk to a patient, what are the top things I should do to make sure I'm more empathetic? Hey, what words should I use? Again, we're talking about communication. growing up in New York City in a melting pot, and now I'm in Dallas, Texas, there's a multitude of cultures that I grew up with. And so I'm very sensitive to cultures. But I have some of my colleagues that when I work sometimes in East Texas, that they have never left East Texas. And so I can show up on a pink shirt and they look at me weird saying, "Wait, what are you wearing?" But my point is this, why not use AI to teach my fellow colleagues to say, hey, let's learn some empathy, let's learn culture. And then when you speak to someone that's outside of Texas, maybe they're from another part of the world, why not use AI to help me come up with what kind of examples to help teach them? If here in Texas, it's big in Texas, everybody talks about how big Texas is and cowboys and football. But if I talk to someone in Europe and I say football, they're not going to think football, they're going to think soccer. And if I start giving examples to their healthcare and I'm trying to relate the two, they're going to miss the boat because they're like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. But why not use, again, going back to my theme of communication, use AI to help me communicate, use the examples, and not only to their sports, but to their culture, to their age. Because think about it, how many times that you've gone to a doctor, and I'm not going to say you have the disease, but pretend somebody has diabetes. And they've had it for 20 years, and I have to discharge you. I go into a computer, type in diabetes, and give you the same discharge instructions that I did 10 years ago. But the disease has changed. The disease is different for you after 20 years than after new diagnosis. So why am I doing that? Why not use, again, generative AI to make those better discharge instructions specific to you? Not just your age, but how long you've had the disease, your sex, your culture. Like, that is the new way that I'm seeing generative AI helping. Now, in the near future, I know I'm going to a soapbox here, but I look at this keyboard right here, and then I don't need this keyboard. It should be fluid. If my computer station's over here and I'm like this, looking at you and looking at you every time I'm typing, is that really patient care? And so some simple low-hanging fruit is we're starting to convert to this voice-to-text communication. Because guess what? Patients lie. And so when the patients, I say, hey, do you drink? And they're like, oh, no, I don't drink. Maybe I drink once a month. I'm like, but really, I'm not even looking at the patient. But if I'm looking and I'm listening and I'm really listening, now I can be like, come on, do you really just drink once a month? Tell me the truth, because this is going to make a difference. So these are simple ways that it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I haven't thought about that so much, but certainly in my own communication, as well as filling gaps and things that you're good at versus not good at, certainly seeing those applications. And then, of course, the voice to text, there's been such incredible progress there. And it really is working. And so next week, of course, you'll be chairing the HIMSS 24 pre-conference, I think titled Leveraging the Transformational Power of AI. And it's sold out. So the interest is there. People are excited. What are you looking forward to the most during that day?
Two things. Selfishly, I got to show my toys. I'm going to show my Meta glasses and they connect to ChatGPT and I can take a picture and video and say I had a patient, I could take a picture of the ailment and it could analyze it and say, oh, this is squamous cell carcinoma, X and Y. The other part, I'm going to pull out my other prop that I'm going to be showing this off. And I haven't given this to my son yet, but it's a plushie that is connected to ChatGPT. And so what I'll be able to do is have a conversation and I know it sounds creepy, it'll have all the prompts of my son and what he likes and flavors and age. And then it'll be able to communicate, going back to my communication theme. And then I thought, this is kind of cool. And I'm going to show this on stage. And then the other one, which I'll probably be the first person ever doing this, I'm bringing my Apple Vision Pro, have all the questions in my vision. And then I'll be able to interact with the audience, interact with the panel, and then have all my questions ready. And then I'm going to let the head of organizer of the organization text me if she needs anything, and it'll be on my screen and I'll be able to see it and still communicate and deliver amazing experience. And I'm going to explain how I'm doing this in real time and how this would relate to medicine. So I'm really trying to show, like, not only talk the talk, but actually walk the talk.
Right. Amazing. Well, that sounds like lots of fun. A lot of props for the show. And then there's obviously going to be some great talks, great sessions. One of the ones jumped out to me because I think we're, you know, kind of in the business of bridging that gap between magic and illusion was the title of the session that Jonathan Chen is speaking. What can we expect to hear there around kind of the accuracy, reliability, and to some degree, you know, like busting the hype of what's there and what's real?
Yeah. I'm excited about his session. I've actually listened to one of his conversations on YouTube and it was amazing. I'm really like a little kid when it comes to magic. I love magic. And I love how he actually took the two and made one. What he's going to be going over, obviously, is hallucination and explaining how we're seeing something and we're actually hallucinating, or we're seeing something that we think it is, but it's not. And he's making that connection. And he's going to make sure that we understand that just because these things exist, and we know we're going into an election year and we have deep fakes, how does that relate? Because ChatGPT says X, does that mean that is the gold standard? Does that mean it is 100% truth? Or he's going to challenge people and say, hey, we need models that are trained in healthcare, that are reinforced by doctors. And so I'm really stoked about his, because again, the kid in me wants to watch that magic show.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's another one. I think we saw Brian Anderson, who's the newly announced CEO at the Coalition of Health AI. So I'm excited just to hear what he has to say. I think he used to be with MITRE, and then Mike Pensina with Duke. And they're going to talk about ethics, which is obviously a topic near and dear to all of our audience. And we've covered it here a few times. What should we expect to hear from them?
This is such a big topic. I can listen to this over and over, and it's something that will not go away in a good way. They're going to be going over, obviously, the bias in the algorithm. They're going to be going over the transparency of AI. One of the key things about AI, and I hope this day comes soon, is we need a food label equivalent in AI, so that you as a consumer or doctor or healthcare professional can look at AI and say, oh, this is bias in this. This data is missing this. I should not use this in this. That way you can literally look at it like a food label and say, okay, now I understand. And I do a talk that's called The Good, The Bad, and The Unknown. And you can do that with this AI. You can go through and be like, okay, I get this. I don't get this. Because people don't realize, just because ChatGPT was done here in the United States, what if somebody out in, I'm going to make a region up, West Africa is using it, it may not apply. There's biases in the algorithm. There's populations that don't apply. And so they're going to be going over all of these things in their talk. And that's another one I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, I know you're a champion of equity and work to that ensure access in your community. And we've talked about the biases and the disparities that are inherent in AI because they're there. But I think what you're saying there is that the transparency to some degree is one of the ways we're going to get over that and ensuring that people understand that they are there and then how to handle that. Are there other efforts that you're seeing health systems use or technology developers use to combat that?
Yeah. So I'm going blank on what RAG stands for because I use this so much. But basically, one of the key things is we need to take the black box out. We need to explain what's going on with these algorithms. So there's two things going on. One is there's this thing called graph knowledge. Imagine I came to a diagnosis and in my brain, I know how I got there. But if I ask ChatGPT, how did you get to this diagnosis? I have no idea. It's literally a black box. And so what they're doing now is they're programming what's called a knowledge graph and say it's a person with chest pain. And what is the differential diagnosis? What are all the possibilities? And then AI will actually put all the symptoms and cluster it. And then I, as a doctor or healthcare professional, can look at it and say, oh, I see why it thinks this. And it's kind of unmaxing that black box. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing that's really interesting, and I mentioned just a second ago, was the RAG technology. Think of it this way. It only hallucinates because it doesn't know, right? But if you give it exactly what you're looking for and it goes there first, it's less likely to hallucinate. So case in point. I mentioned diabetes earlier. Say I had a manual of diabetes and we were in a diabetes clinic and we use AI to ask questions. If I upload or present to the AI just this manual of diabetes and they ask questions, it's going to hit the manual before it hits anything else. And so if it's more likely to get the answer. And then if I'm really strict with it, I can tell the AI, if you don't know, only pull from this. And so then it'll be a lot easier to discern. So to answer your question, that is what we're moving towards. That is what hospitals are wanting to do so that they can really focus on what it is, the problem is, and making sure it's not hallucinating. So I'm really stoked about all the things that are coming out in AI and healthcare.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it's like thinking of it as a colleague, right? And whether you're talking, when you're talking to another physician or another nurse, where they came from, where how they studied, if their specialty is endocrinology or their specialty is cardiology, and therefore they'll come to the table with its set of information. And so with that understanding that your AI tools will also sort of have that information and you'll be able to distinguish that it's just another colleague or tool coming to help and assist the physician and clinician in their decision process, right? Very cool. And so as we look to, once we recover from HAMS, which will be a jam-packed week, we're excited to have you in Houston. And as we were planning Houston, the Health Impact Forum there, we really, it's at the Texas Medical Center. So it's right in the heart of so many hospitals. As you said, everything is big in Texas. Well, the Texas Medical Center is very big. And we wanted to focus on the clinical applications very specifically to really hone in on that. I mean, we'll still, of course, talk about the administrative efficiencies and workflow efficiencies, but we have the session that you're leading on oncology. And I know you're part of the Transforming Oncology with AI editorial board. So it's an area that you've been seeing some work with. And we have on the panel Kelvin Wong and Amy Walters from Save Hope. And we are excited for that. But I'd love to hear your thoughts looking specialty specific. So talking more broadly about some of that, but as you look at oncology, what are some of the things that you think AI is going to really have an impact on?
It's really interesting. If you think about it, most people don't realize we're still using fax machines. We're still doing our workflows that we're thinking we're still using a fax. And so my point to drive my other point is we need to change our workflows. We need to use technology. One of the things that AI is really good at is what's called structured data. And so to give my example, imagine I'm a pathologist looking at a bunch of slides, and obviously I'm human. My eyes can only see so much. I can get distracted. I can get a text. I may be looking away and I may miss something. But if I had AI being those extra eyes, looking at the pathology slides, analyzing it, maybe even bringing it up or blowing it up, my brain, ADHD brain, sorry, the Apple Vision Pro is being used right now in neurosurgery. Why? Because they can expand what there's in their field. They can look at it this big as opposed to their human eyes. And so using that analogy with oncology, if I'm able to have a higher accuracy rate using AI, what an amazing ability to be able to catch things. And then there's also this pre-cancer cell, and there's this transition of cells. If I'm able to identify these sooner, then I may be actually saving lives, as opposed to I may have missed those transition cells or certain aspects that are really minor detail. The other part to this, and I'm going to be published in the April edition, I'm actually taking this to the next level. I wrote a whole article on prompt engineering and oncology and how to use prompts, how to use AI to get a better output so that we can use it for our patients or for our workflows. So these are the kind of things that we'll be seeing here shortly. But big picture, oncology is a big thing. Unfortunately, my mom had cancer. She's alive. She's fine. But cancer is something that really hits close to my heart. And I want to make sure that we're doing everything possible to fight this disease.
Yes. Yeah, no. And there's a lot of great work being done around, obviously, the Cancer X Initiative and moonshots and stuff. And I think that AI does have a particular, I mean, and it's been going on for a while in terms of the amount of data. And as you said, with oncology, the imaging and what it can recognize for early disease prevention and detection, which is really the most important part of that. So as we sort of come to the end of our time, although it's really just the beginning, because I'm going to see you on Monday, I can't wait. But when we look at the promise of AI, we think about sometimes the limitations, but we've talked about those. Let's talk a little bit just about what you think is really going to be that one impact that it has just in the short term that will make it sort of bring it from a theoretical to the actual when it comes to the delivery of care.
I can speak personally, working in the emergency room, when seconds count, this technology in general is already being used. I don't want to brand drop, but I'll mention Epic. For better or worse, people like Epic, some don't. But Epic is working on with ChatGPT or OpenAI and Microsoft to create that environment. And the product is here, where now as that busy ER doctor, when seconds count, I get this a lot. Hey, doctor, I ask the patient, I need your medical records or what's your past medical history? And they look at me like, go through my record. And I'm like, no, I just tell me what's going on. And like, no, just go through my record. And so if I have this technology that I can say, okay, give me the top diagnosis, give me the last three CAT scans, give me a summary, and it just gives it to me within seconds, then now I can really take care of my patient. A little futuristic, but I think we're here. We're my Apple Vision Pro. I don't have no shares in Epic. I have the Epic app on my Vision Pro. I'm taking you care of you as my patient, but now I can see your x-ray. I can see your labs. As we're talking, a lab pops up. Now it's there in real time. I don't have to check the computer. I don't have to leave the room. In theory, I can hit a button and mirror my Apple Vision Pro to the TV screen in the room. And now together we can go over your x-ray. I don't have to drag you out to the x-ray room or wherever where PAX machine is. And so in real time, I can help. Another real quick one is if I'm doing a procedure and I have a question, I can voice it, go through the app, and then it can talk back to me and tell me, okay, this or that. Or let's say I'm doing a rare case disease and the world expert is in Italy. Well, he can put on an Apple Vision Pro. We can both see it together and he can guide me through that procedure. So, awesome. I mean, these are the things that are here today that can be done now. So I'm really excited about all this.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, me too. That I think the collaborative power, the communication, and really just filling those gaps that, you know, we as humans inevitably have, right? We can't be everywhere and everything at once. So amazing. Well, thank you again for being here, Dr. Castro. We're so excited to see you on Monday and then again in Houston, March 27th.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you. That's a wrap for Health Impact Digital Talks. I'm Megan Antonelli here with Dr. Harvey Castro. And good night.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Health Impacts Digital Health Talk. Don't miss another podcast. Subscribe at digitalhealthtalks.com. And to join us at our next face-to-face event, visit healthimpactlive.com.